Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
talented Chad Evan Jai singing the lyrics of our one and only Jay Hatter, and it's good to have you here for this specially timed Melbourne Cup special from Melbourne, Australia. And I should thank too, straight up front, Stephen and Kay. I know Stephen and Kay have Poetic Slice and they have their normal time, and we completely interrupted it, being rude and all that, because that's what happened. And they very, very nicely decided to change. So my thanks to Stephen and Kay right up front. And I have with me none other than the head honcho of a team of voices, Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm excited for the race. How are you?
Oh, no, I'm in great shape. And with us also is the one, the only, Sweet Pea. How are you, Sweet?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, I'm good. Now, you noticed that I didn't leave you out, Sweet. I actually got you a horse without you even having to ask.
I'm so excited.
And it's a decent-looking horse, too. I hasten to ask.
Oh, my God,
it's
he's gorgeous.
Just any horse. It's a decent horse, so you know you've got to be happy about that. So it's an interesting race this year because we have a distinct favourite, which is unusual in the Melbourne Cup. We don't usually have a distinct favourite, but We have had a local horse who has come from the back blocks of Queensland in the Great Australian Tradition, has won nine horse races in a row, including the Caulfield Cup, which is the traditional lead-up race to the Melbourne Cup, and won it most convincingly. So we have a local horse here that is a red-hot favourite, which, as I said, is unusual, but that's where we are. And that is horse number two, Naomi's horse, Incentivize. So that is not just the small favourite, the strong favourite. So we shall see how that goes, because it's been a little while, as I said, since we've had a horse where, you know, the bookies are going to lose millions of dollars if it actually goes and wins, which is what's going to happen today. So we shall see if that happens. So the horses are just making their way out from the stables to the sort of mounting yard, and that's where all the roses are, Deb. It's just a ton and a stack of roses. And it's a beautiful day here. It's 30 degrees Celsius, so sort of up in the 80s, and the roses are out. And we actually have a crowd at the horse racing for the first time in a couple of years. So we've got a smaller crowd, because normally we would have in excess of 100,000 people, 120,000 people, but this year we have 10. So that's what's been allowed. We have 10,000 people, but it's a bloody sight more than zero, which was what happened last year. To put this in the sort of lexicon of horse races around the world, the Breeders' Cup in the US is a $5.8 million race and has about 100,000 people watch it. The Kentucky Derby, I think, is about a $4 million race, and about 120,000 people have been known to watch that. The Melbourne Cup is a $6 million race, and so it's worth slightly more than the Breeders' Cup, and it's the fourth richest horse race in the world, to put it in context. So it's a decent amount of money, and that's why so many horses come down from other countries, whether it's America or whether it's particularly from Europe and from England, where they have great staying bloodlines. So, and often from New Zealand. So that's why we get quite a range of horses here, and it's because of the prize money, which is huge prize money by any stretch of the imagination. So anyway, we are all here, Deb, and we are doing not just horse racing and stuff. We're doing roses. We're doing poems about horses and poems about horse racing. And I think you were very keen, Deb, to get me to read one of the banjo ones that you found. I think that was right, wasn't it?
Yes. It's just that the link for it, when you copy and paste it, doesn't work. So you have to go through the main page. So you have to go through his list and click on yourself, but put that link on the board.
Have you got the link there now?
I'm going to put it on the top on the chat wall, and then you just scroll down to the poll, and here is that. And sweet, if you click on that and scroll down to the poem, Old Pardon, the Son of Reprieve.
I've got another link to it here directly, so bear with me. Hold on. I think it's going to let me, which it may not, because, of course, not. The link's not found. Ha-ha, the link has got cold.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Something's wrong with the pickup. But anyway, like I said, if you go in through the link I put on the board and then just scroll to
down.
it'll let you know.
And Old Pardon,
Old
the Son
Pardon,
of Reprieve.
The Son of Reprieve. Here we go.
And this is by Banjo Patterson, of course. So we'll get one of the big Banjo Patterson poems out of the way first, because they're fairly decent size, but they're good fun and beautifully written. So this is Old Pardon, the Son of Reprieve. And it goes a little bit like this. You never heard tell of the story, well now I can hardly believe. Never heard of the honour and glory of Pardon, the Son of Reprieve. But maybe you're only a Johnny, and don't know a horse from a hoe, well, well, don't get angry, my sonny, but really a young'un should know. They bled him out pack on the never. His mother was Mamaluka breed. To the front, and then there was ever the root of the Mamaluka creed. He seemed to inherit their wiry, strong frames and their pluck to receive, as hard as a flint and as fiery, and as Pardon, the son of reprieve. We ran him at many a meeting, at crossing and gully and town, and nothing could give him a beating, at least when our money was down. For weight wouldn't stop him, nor distance, nor odds, though the others were fast. He'd face with a dogged persistence and wear them all down at the last. At the Turon, the Yattendon filly led by lengths at the mile and a half, and we all began to look silly while her crowd was starting to laugh. But the old horse came faster and faster. His pluck told its tale and his strength. He gained on her, caught her and passed her and won it, hands down, by a length. And then we swooped down a Menindi to run for the President's Cup. Oh, that's a sweet township of Shindy. To them is board, lodging and sup. Eye-openers there are in their system is never to suffer defeat. It's win, tie or wrangle to best 'em. You must lose 'em or else it's dead heat. We strolled down the township and found 'em at drinking and gaming and play. If sorrows they had, why they drowned them, and betting was soon underway. Their horses were good'uns and fittens. There was plenty of cash in the town. And backed their own horses like Britons, and Lord, how we rattled it down. With gladness we thought of the morrow, we counted our wages with glee. A simile homily to borrow, there was plenty of milk in our tea. You see, we were green and we were never, had even a thought of foul play, though we well might have known that the clever division would put us away. Experience dose that they tell us, at least so I frequently heard, but dosing or stuffing those fellows were up to each move on the board. They got to his stall a distinctful to think what such villains will do, and they gave him a regular skinful of barley, green barley, to chew. He munched it all night and they found him next morning as full as a hog. The girths wouldn't nearly meet round him. He looked like an overfed frog. We saw we were done like a dinner. The odds were 1,000 to 1. Pardon turning up winner, 'twas cruel to ask him to run. We got to the course with our troubles, a crestfallen couple were we, and we heard the books calling the doubles, a roar like the surf of the sea. And over the tumult and louder rang any price pardon I lay, says Jimmy, the children of Judah are out on the warpath today. 3 miles and 3 heats are my sonny, the horses in those days were stout, they had to run well to win money. I don't see such horses about. You 6 furlong vermin that scamper, 1/2 mile with their feather weight up, they wouldn't earn much of their damper in a race like the President's Cup. The first heat was soon set a-going. The dancer went off to the front. The Don on his quarters was showing with Pardon right out of the hunt. He rolled and he weltered and wallowed. You'd kick your hat faster, I'll bet. They finished all bunched and he followed, all lathered and dripping with sweat. The troubles came thicker upon us, for while we were rubbing him dry, the stewards came over to warn us, we hear you are running a by. If Pardon don't spiel like Tarnation and win the next heat if he can, he'll earn a disqualification. Just think that over now, my man. Our money all gone and our credit, our horse couldn't gallop a yard, and then people thought that we did it. It really was terribly hard. We were objects of mirth and derision to folks in the lawn and the sand, and to the yells of the clever division of any price pardon were grand. We still had a chance for the money. 2 heats remained to be run. If both fell to us, why, my sonny, the clever division were done. And Pardon was better, we reckoned. His sickness was passing away. So we went to the post for the second and principal heat of the day. They're off and away with a rattle, like dogs from the leashes let slip. And right at the back of the battle, he followed them under the whip. They gained 10 good lengths on him quickly. He dropped right away from the pack. I tell you, it made me feel sickly to see the blue jacket fall back. Our very last hope had departed. We thought the old fellow was done, when all of a sudden he started to go like a shot from a gun. His chances seemed slight to embolden. Our hearts put with teeth firmly set. We thought now we'll never be olden. may reckon with some of them yet. Then loud rose the war cry for pardon. He swept like the wind down the dip, and over the rise by the garden, the jockey was done with the whip. The field was at sixes and sevens. The pace was the first of them fast, and hope seemed to drop from the heavens. Pardon was coming at last. And how he did come, it was splendid. He gained them yards every bound, stretching out like a greyhound extended, his girth glade right down on the ground. A shimmer of silk and the cedars, as into the running they wheeled, and out flashed the whips and the leaders, for Pardon had collared the field. Then right through the ruck, in his sailing, I knew that the battle was won. The son of Haphazard was failing, the Yattendon filly was done. Down the Don and the Dancer, he raced clean away from the mare. He's in front, catch him now if you can, sir, and up put my hat in the air. Then loud from the lawn, the garden, rose offers of 10 to 1 on. He'll bet on the field, I back Pardon, no use, all the money was gone. He came for the third heat, light-hearted, jumping and dancing about. The others were done ere they started, crestfallen and tired and worn out. He won it and ran it much faster than ever the first, I believe. Oh, he was the daddy, the master, was Pardon, the son of reprieve. He showed them the method of travel. The boy sat still as a stone. They could never see him for gravel. He came in hard-held and alone. But he's old, and his eyes have grown hollow, like me with my thatch of the snow. When I die, then my hope I may follow and go where the racehorses go. I don't want no harping nor singing, such things with my style don't agree, where the hooves of the horses are ringing. There's music sufficient for me. And surely the thoroughbred horses will rise up again and begin, fresh faces on faraway courses, and perhaps they might let me slip in. It would look rather well, the race card on, amongst cherubs and seraphs and things. Angel Harrison's black gelding Pardon, blue halo, white body and wings. And if they have racing hereafter, and who's to say they will not, when the cheers and the shouting and laughter proclaim that the battle grows hot. As they come down the race course of steering, you'll rush to the front, I believe, and you'll hear the great multitude cheering for Pardon, the son of reprieve. And boom.
Amazing. Thanks.
Wow.
Never read that before. That's just a beautiful poem.
Fabulous story. He rested in the horse all the way through. It's like I said, I was trying to find somebody new to impress you with, and instead I stumbled onto this and couldn't get past it. I just couldn't get past it. The heritage of the horse alone makes me want to cry. It was brilliant. Thank you.
No, it's a brilliant, brilliant poem. As I said, I've never read it. Thank you for showing me that one. I'll have to work out where that was. If it was published, I imagine it's in one of the early collections. It might even be in the Man from Snowy River because it was published before 1889. But it's a brilliant poem, isn't it? Really, really good. Love it.
Yeah. It says 17th February 1864.
Yeah, it's one of his early ones. One of his really early ones. So he was following Adam Lindsay Gordon, who was one of his people that he looked up to and one of his mentors. He was following Adam Lindsay Gordon. With that poem, it's got a very similar rhythm, and I wonder if I do that now actually, because we've probably got time before the cup. Yeah, so this is born in England, came across to Australia in his 20s, and he was a poet, a politician, a horse rider, particularly a jumps rider. This is Adam Lindsay Gordon, How We Beat From, about 1850. And it goes a little bit like this. "Hey, Squire," said Stevens, "they back him at evens. The race is all over bar shouting, they say. The clown ought to beat her, Dick Neville is sweeter than ever, he swears he can win all the way. A gentleman rider, well, I'm an outsider, but he's a gent who's the mischief's a jock. He swells mostly blunder, Dick rides for the plunder. He rides too like thunder, he sits like a rock. He calls hunted fairly, a horse that has barely been stripped for a trot within sight of the hounds. A horse that at Warwick beat Birdlime and Yorick and gave Abdi Kirkhelder at Aintree 9 pounds. They say we have no test to warrant a protest. Dick rides for a lord and stands in with a steward. The light of their faces, they show him his case is prejudged and his verdict already secured. But none can outlast her and few can travel faster. She strides in her work clean away from the drag. You hold her and sit her, she couldn't be fitter. Whenever you hit her, she'll spring like a stag. The green jacket at odds, though they back it, may fall. There's knowing what may turn up. The mare is quite ready. Sit still and ride steady. Keep cool, and I think you just may win the cup. Dark brown with tan muzzle, just stripped for the tussle, stood as you were arching her neck to the curb. A lean head and fiery, strong quarters and wiry. A loin rather light, but a shoulder superb. Some parting injunction bestowed with great unction. I tried to recall, but I forgot like a dunce. When Reginald Murray, full tilt on White Surrey, came down in a hurry to start us at once. Keep back in the yellow, come up on Othello, held hard on the chestnut, turn round on the drag. Keep there on the Spartan, back you, sir, and tartan, so steady there easy, and down went the flag. We started in Kerr, made strong running on Mermaid, though furrows that led to the first stake and bound. The crack half extended, looked blood-like and splendid, held wide on the right where the headland was sound. I pulled hard to baffle her rush with the snaffle before her two-thirds of the field got away. All through the wet pasture where floods of the last year still loitered, they clotted my crimson with clay. The fourth fence a wattle, floored Monk and Blue Bottle, the drag came to grief at the Blackthorn and Ditch. Toppled over Redoubt and Red Rover, the lane stopped Lycurgus and Lesutewitch. She passed like an arrow, Kildare and Cock Sparrow, and Mantrap and Mermaid refused the stone wall. And Giles and the Grayling came down at the paling, and I was left sailing in front of them all. I took them a burst and not ease, though nursed her, until the Black Bullfinch led into the plough. And though the strong bramble we bored with a scramble, my cap was knocked off by the hazel tree bough. Where furrows looked lighter, I drew the rein tighter, her dark chest dappled with flakes of white foam. Her flanks mud bespattered, a weak wail she chattered. We landed on turf with our heads turned for home. Then crashed a low binder, and then close behind her, the sward to the strokes of the favourite shook. His rush roused her mettle yet ever so little. She shortened her stride as we raced at the brook. She rose when I hit her. I saw the string glitter, a wide scarlet nostril flashed close to my knee. Between sky and water, the clown came and caught her. The space that he cleared was a caution to see. And forcing the running, discarding all cunning, a length to the front went the rider in green. A long strip of stubble and then the big double, two stiff flights of rails with a quick set between. She raced the rasper, I felt my knees grasp her, I found my hands gived her for the strain on the bit. She rose when the clown did, our silks as we bounded, brushed lightly, our stirrups clashed loud as we lit. A rise, steeply sloping, a fence with stone coping, the last he diverged around the base of the hill. His pass was the nearer, his leap was the clearer. I flogged up the straight, and he led sitting still. She came to his quarter, and on still I brought her, and up to his girth, to his breastplate she drew. A short prayer from Neville just reached me, devil. He muttered, lock level, the hurdles we flew. A hum of horse cheering, dense crowds careering, all sights obscene, obscenely, with all shouts vaguely heard. The green winds, the crimson, the multitude swims on, and figures are blended and features are blurred. The horse is her master, the green forges past her, the clown will outlast her, the clown wins the clown. The white railing races with all the white faces, the chestnut outpaces, outstretches the brown. On still past the gateway, she strains in the straightway, still struggles the clown by a short neck at most. He swerves the green scourges, the stand rocks and surges, and flashes and verges and flits the white post. I so ends the tunnel, I knew the tan muzzle through the ringmen were yelling dead heat. And those I could swear by, but Clark said the mare by, a short head. And that's how the favourite was beat. In poem.
That was awesome.
Do you like that one, Deb?
I did.
You like that sweat? I thought like, they had something.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was beautiful. I mean, I love the stories. Of course, I love
it's just
your
a beautiful.
Poet.
Yes, but no, just a lovely, long written sort of description poem. It just, they're quite beautiful. I think they're quite beautiful as pieces, both the one that Deb got me to read, and then that one, then just a really, really nice piece of poetry, you know. So anyway, there you go. So we are within 4 minutes, so we are very close, and we will be coming back to the horses going into the barriers, and We will call the horse races it is. Now, you will see apart from 2 horses. We've got people, got poets against each of horses up on the board. So if you want to see who is going and doing well or whatever, then go to the board, have a quick look, and see your horse or other people's horses. And this is a 3,200-metre race, so a 2-mile race sweep. So it does go for a little while, and typically it's sort of a reasonably bunched up race until about the straight, about until the home straight. So there you go. We'll see how we go. Deb, are you with us?
Yeah.
I think, wow, she may have had to wander off and do something, I think. So anyway, that's okay.
Can't hear.
Hi Deb, how are you?
I'm okay. You can't hear me though?
Oh, I couldn't hear you before, but I can hear you now.
Now we can. Oh, okay, good. There
yeah.
she is.
So we've got 3 minutes to go to the horse race. We've only done 2 poems. Mind you, they're fairly big poems. So we've only done 2 poems. But that's okay, you know. Not many times we get to read some of these poems that are a little bit bigger, Deb. So we've got a few of them today. So here we go. Lovely day here in my home city of Melbourne. And the horses have gone up to the extended sort of straight that is in Melbourne here. So they go down the main straight for about 1 kilometre and then they go round the circle track and then come back to finish in front of the grandstand. So basically at the minute we've got all of the horses wandering around in circles behind the barrier just trying to get as relaxed as possible and not trying to kick anybody before they go into the barriers. So and it only takes a minute or two to get them in. Actually, they're pretty efficient at doing this, and they're all ready to roll to get into those barriers. And then I'll do the best I can to call where people are up to. Deb. Sometimes it's quite hard though, particularly at the start, because they tend to be 23 horses running, and they tend to be pretty bunched for the first little bit. So. We'll see how we go. But a very, very distinct favourite here in Incentivise. It's at $2.80, and the next closest horse is at $9.50. So there is a very, very distinct favourite here today, which, as I said, is unusual. We don't probably have time to have Sweet read before the race. I'm sorry, Sweet. But can you stick with us to read just after? Is that okay? Unless it's very short.
No, yes, that's fine. I want to hear the race anyway. After the race is great.
Okay. After the race? Okay, cool. Righto. Excellent. Okie doke. So we've got, at this stage, they sort of, what they do is they put the horses in from the out, very outside in and the very inside out, if that makes any sense at all. So that the final horses are the ones that come in the middle. And at the minute, we have about half the horses in the barriers, and we're running slightly late. The horse race should have started 10 or 11 minutes, 11 seconds ago, but, you know, they'll probably forgive it for the Melbourne Cup. And we have a series of people just making sure that nobody is doing anything silly. We've just got about 3-4 more horses to go, I'd suggest, to you. Number 22 is just going up to the Laughing Souls horse, and we have one going in right at the end. We've got one in at the middle. The last one coming in is horse 23, Charlie Rose, which is Wayne's horse. I think we've got, one more to go. Port Guillaume is, that's Chuck 17's horses. I think the last one to go into the barrier at the very widest barrier, followed by horse number 9, Salino. The light is on. We have everybody ready to jump, and we are off. We are off in the Melbourne Cup, and we have the 23 horses basically across the whole track, and except, you know, most people are actually heading towards the inside rail as quickly as they possibly can. But we still have 10 horses wide at the minute. And Charlie Rose, number 21, is leading from number 2, Incentivise. And number 11, Knight's Order, Swept, is up in third and up in quite a nice position. So as we're settling down, we've got horse number 23, Great House. Knight's Order is in second and has now gone to take the lead as they cross the finishing post for the first time. And as we all trail out here, we have a distinct front runner that's emerged, and that's Persan, horse number 12, which is Hatter's horse. And Persan is leading from the favourite Incentivise, and followed by one up and one back in Knight's Order in a beautiful position, followed by Floating Artist. And those four horses, 12, 2, 11 and 22, have struck out in the back straight, and they are, well, they've got themselves a couple of lengths, to be honest, on the rest of the horses following them. So Persan number 12, Incentivise number 2, Knight's Order number 11, and Floating Artist number 22 have just had a beautiful run, and the rest of the field now has caught those four horses and are not giving them any space, but they're still running along, doing a brilliant job out the front. And I hasten to add that Persan, of course, is Hatter's horse, go figure, and Incentivise is Naomi's horse. So we're now curling around the back of the back straight, and we're starting to get serious about things now because we only have 1,400 metres to go. So we've only got a third of the race to go, and we're starting to get quicker because what happens is then we get to the final 1,000-odd metres as we have the turn. And that's when every challenge comes from left, right and centre. But it's still Persan, horse number 12, leading from the favourite number 2, Incentivise. Grand Promenade number 16 has come up to third, and Knight's Order is now in fourth. And we are around to go with less than 1,000 metres to go. We're down to 850 metres to go. It's still horse number 12, Persan, followed by Incentivise, the favourite for the brilliant run. Horse number 16, Grand Promenade. Number 22, Floating Artist. And now it's where it starts to get serious, and Incentivise has started to make its run. So we've got the leader, number 2, the favourite, Incentivise, followed by horse number 16, Grand Promenade, followed by 22, Floating Artist, and then horse number 3. But we've got, let's look for now the end. Oh, there's a huge run coming from horse number 4. What a brilliant-looking run this is by Very Elegant, who's taken over from Incentivise, and Very Elegant, horse number 4, is going to win this by 3 or 4 horse race lengths. Just a brilliant run. Very Elegant absolutely killed the field, followed by number 2, Incentivise, followed by, what have we got? So we've got Very Elegant, and, of course, that is the horse from Silk Black Rose, would you believe? Very Elegant has won, followed by Incentivize, number two, the favourite. Number three has come third, Spanish Mission. So two and three. And there is not going to be any way on the world that's going to come back. But it has won that race so clearly, I can't begin to tell you. So it has got clear with about 300 metres to run, and it's put four horse lengths between it and the field. Amazing result, brilliantly done, and just absolutely streeted everybody. The jockey's probably going to get a fine for standing up on the horse when they went across the field, but I don't think anybody will worry because he's going to earn a ton of money. But no, brilliantly done to Very Elegant, and that is Silk Black Rose on our sweep. Silk Black Rose first for the 8,000 points, then second Incentivize, which is Naomi for 4,000 points, and then horse number three, Spanish Mission for Pretty Bird. She always wins something. Pretty Bird gets third. And I can't tell you who yet is officially last, but I will be able to very shortly. So they're the main points, Deb. We have run and won 2021 Melbourne Cup.
That's who, you know, I didn't even win, but I'm so excited because if you look, I put on the board that if I was betting money today, I would be betting on the four horse. So I'm like over the moon that I was right and I wish I bet money on it.
Yes. Well, great name. It's sort of nice mix. Nice sort of combination there, isn't it, really? Silk gets Very Elegant. Sort of makes a lot of sense. But anyway, there you go. So we'll hand out the points a little bit later on. Clear big win there by horse number four. A brilliant run. Brilliant run. So... did a fantastic job, and just a really clean Melbourne Cup. No dramas with the result there. Just too much, too better, too quick. All of the above.
I was also going to say, AP, you're becoming a pro at calling the races too. You were right on that one. Walked us right through it.
And just
a note. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I just couldn't see the number of the bloody saddle cloth of that horse coming through because it just flapped, and so I couldn't see the number. That was the only thing that got me for a tick, but it was just moving too fast. But no, brilliant race, Deb.
Yeah, no, I think you did awesome saying it. And the three horse that Pretty Bird got is the only horse from the USA.
There we go. We've done well. We've done well. That's all you can say. And Wayne, you've joined us.
Yes, I did, apparently. Because my phone
service
was off today, so I had to... Yeah, I got a horse known as Tally Rose. I don't know what she placed yet, but...
No. She didn't get first, second, or third. Put it that way.
No. I think you got to redo the race over.
Race is over. Race has just been race and one.
You run it over and do it again.
Maybe they should repeat it.
There's great commentary you had. You did a good job on the commentary. I felt like I was there.
So.
See?
There you go. I thought that was, it was terrific. Great result. And I'm slowly starting to learn how to call horse racing, Wayne. I know you probably know how to do that, like...
Well, I'm from Kentucky, we know about horses here, because I'm from Kentucky.
That's what I mean.
I go to the Derby quite often.
That's what I mean.
You did a good job. I have to give you A+ on that. You did a wonderful job.
No, thank you very much, Ron. We tried. So, so there we go. I'm most pleased for Silk that he's actually got the points. So, great result. Sweet. Did you want to do a poem as now?
Yes, I would love to do my poem now.
Excellent. Now, did you want to put that up on the board for us?
Sure, I can do that. I hope. See what I can do.
I hope so too.
Hey, Wayne.
How you doing?
All right. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good right now.
Good.
I guess I wasn't, but I'm good now. How are you playing?
Oh, well, I'm glad you're doing good. I'm trying to do this now. I'm not doing very good. I'm not on my computer, so. Oh,
no,
no, come
okay.
on.
I can find it for you if you like, Swayze. We can help if you tell us which one you want.
Well, it's on the board. I put it in the room for you.
Oh, did you put it in the room? Okay.
I did.
I'm sorry. I'm not on the computer. I'll be there. I'll be back
well,
in a
I'll
minute.
Well, I'll go and find it then. Let me go and find it. Hold on. Bear with me.
Okay.
Bear with me. The thinking
I'll
horse racing
you,
music is like
my dower.
Go to the book. Yeah, like that. Darryl. Darryl-y. I'll do it. Darryl-y. Now, here we go. Black Knight. I've found it.
Black Knight.
And I am putting it up on the board as we speak.
Thank you.
And
he was up there
for
yeah, he was winning. He was up there in the with the four horsemen there for a little bit, and then he fell back. So he started off strong.
He was close. No, gave him every chance, sweet pea. Gave it every chance, but just wasn't quite good enough on the day.
Right. He's a good little man too. So won a lot. So anyway, this is Black Knight. He quiets the noise from the crowds outside, listening to the drumming of his heart's cry, anticipating the sounds that release the madness inside. The air catches fire and blazes through his eyes. Smoke billows as hoofs hit dirt with each powerful stride. Tangled in his mane, flames chase the wind through the ride. A knight's order fought with glory and pride, never looking back at enemy lines, forging ahead, master of the reins. Irish pride rises as the final stretch came into view. Knight's body defied reality as his stride stepped up two sizes. Neck to neck with a bishop, the knight made his move. Wrapped in roses and gold ribbons he stood, sharing spotlights with little men, another pound in their pockets. A knight's order shined his armor, protecting the village against the villains. He slept, for there would soon be another battle to win. End poem.
Oh, I enjoyed that, sweet. I it's a great name for a horse, isn't it? Let's say, I mean, if you're going to have a horse, you might as well have something that, you know, where the horse's name is actually spelt properly, unlike, you know, double E elegant, which is the one that's actually won the damn thing. But it's actually got proper spelling, and it means something, and it's got style, and it's got substance, and I'm very glad you went with it. So I was impressed. So, Wayne, what did you think of that very horsey story?
I think it's a wonderful poem. The horse thinks it's in a battle and is in a horse race. And so it's ready to have another battle pretty soon. So maybe tomorrow can win another battle. And we'll
the
finish, right?
True enough.
Yeah, it's very
true enough.
Point.
Absolutely.
Enjoy it.
Thank
yeah.
you, Wayne.
No, beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Now, Deb, are you back with us or are you having to,
I
to,
am.
To do something else? You are? Oh, brilliant. Can you give us a comment for...
Yeah.
Sweet.
Oh. Yeah, I would not. I carried the phone with me, so I did get to hear her read. I'm looking at the thing now. But,
right. But
sweet, you got these great details, like that the air catches fire and blazes through his eyes, smoke billows his hoofs, hit dirt with each powerful stride. It was like you took us on a journey. I love that you included that Irish pride, which I'm sure tickled you pink there, or ginger. But I think this is really awesome. And a knight order shined his armor, protecting the village against the villains. He slept, for there would soon be another battle to win. I think this is awesome. And you are too.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Now, we have another caller, Deb. This is 916. Hello and evening.
Hi.
916. How are you?
What horse do I have?
Hello,
do I have a horse? Did you guys race already?
You did.
Hatter.
You did. You had a horse. We had a race. And your horse was in the top four, and then it wasn't. Hatter?
Mine?
I called it for the half of it. And it was there. It was good luck, Sweet Sauce. Sweet Sauce was there too. Great position. All that stuff. Did wonderfully well. And then got to the business end, and it just wasn't there. Simple as that. So,
okay.
You know, it was there.
Well, was that
it ended up not being close finish, to be honest. Very elegant. Just sort of absolutely streeted them in the last 200-300 metres. It was basically, you know, it could have been down twice as far. The next horse coming, it was a long way away from anything else. So, very, very clear win. Really, very, very clear win. Great win to that horse. So, and the trainers and the owners, a brilliant effort. So, we should. I was thinking we might get a few short Rose poems in at this point because the Melbourne Cup is traditionally associated with roses, and we have a couple of Rose poems up on the board. Is that okay if I do those?
Hey, you're in charge.
Okay. No. Well, they're only short. So the good thing about short poems is, you know, if you don't like them very much, then, you know, we're back onto the next one before you can say hey. So we are going to do, firstly, the Banjo Patterson poem, A Bunch of Roses, and it goes a little bit like this. Roses ruddy and roses white, what are the joys that my heart discloses? Sitting alone in the fading light, memories come to me here tonight with the wonderful scent of the big red roses. Memories come as the daylight fades down on the hearth where the firelight dozes. Flicker and flutter the lights in the shades, and I see the face of a queen of maids whose memory comes with the scent of roses. Visions arise of a scent of mirth and a ballroom belle who superbly poses. Queenly woman of queenly worth, and I'm the happiest man on earth with a single flower from a bunch of roses. Only her memory lives tonight. God in his wisdom her young life closes. Over her grave may the turf be light. Cover her coffin with roses white. She was always fond of the big white roses. Such are the visions that fade away. Man proposes and God disposes. Look in the glass and I see today only an old man worn and grey, bending his head to a bunch of roses. End poem. So you didn't think it was going that way, Deb, did you?
No.
Hey, well, I sort of picked it up and I thought, well, about roses, isn't it? So we'll go there. Where I thought it was going. I didn't read it before. I should read it before. But I didn't. So there you go. And thank you to Sweet for being here and for being part of the show and for reading. And we'll catch you down the track. So, and because I haven't done a Henry Lawson poem yet, this is a Henry Lawson poem up on the board. The little...
AP.
Yes.
Isn't that the poem you had on tic-tac-toe one night? I heard this poem before. Didn't you have this on tic-tac-toe?
No, I haven't had it on tic-tac-toe. I have not. No.
Okay.
I have had a Henry Lawson poem, but
yeah,
not this one.
Okay.
You know what it is, though? I think he is starting to pick up on Banjo's particular cadence, and he's recognizing the cadence rather than the specific wording, and you're turning somebody else into a person who recognizes Banjo. That's pretty cool.
Mm, yeah, no, it's does have his own cadence. Anyway, we'll get to that in one sec. This is The Little Native Rose by Henry Lawson, and it goes a little bit like this. There is a lasting little flower that everybody knows, yet none has thought to think about the little native rose. The wattle and the waratah, the world has heard of those, but who outside Australia kens the little native rose? Yet first for faint, far-off perfume that lives where memory goes, and first of all for fatallessness, the little native rose. End poem. Isn't that nice? I just think it's a really nice little poem, to be honest. And I did go and actually find some images of a native rose. You'll be happy to know, Hatter. So I'm going to put that up on the board while we sort of thinking about it, if I can find it, which maybe I can't. But it's got this strange sort of shaped leaves and this little crown of pink. So it's quite a beautiful thing. Now, I noticed on the board, Hatter, something I think came up. Yeah, well, there was you, but nothing came up with it. Were you trying to link something, Hatter? Hello, Hatter. Mr. Hatter.
I'm sorry, I'm unmuted.
Okay.
I'm at that point where I nod my head and I fall asleep.
Okay, well, that's okay. Be quite critique, because then I'll do a little banjo poem, if that's the case. So, Deb, are you happy for me to do a little banjo?
Absolutely.
Okay, right up. Well, that being the case, it's that time of year where I get the chance to read a little Banjo Paterson poem that just happens to be my favourite one. I think you might have heard this before, Wayne. But even if you have, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do it again. Bears repeating. This is the opening poem from the 1889 Banjo Paterson book of the same name, The Man from Snowy River. And, of course, it goes a little bit like this. There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away and had joined the Welsh bush horses. He was worth £1,000, so all the cracks had gathered to the fray. All the tried and noted riders from the stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight, for the bushmen love hard riding where the wild bush horses are, and the stock horse snuffs the battle with delight. There was Harrison who made his pile when Pardon won the cup, the old man with his hair as white as snow. But few could ride beside him when his blood was fairly up. He would go wherever horse and man could go. And Clancy of the Overflow came down to lend a hand. No better horseman ever held the reins. But never horse could throw him while the saddle girths would stand. He learnt to ride while driving on the plains. And one was there, a stripling on a small and weedy beast. He was something like a racehorse undersized, with a touch of Timor pony, three parts thoroughbred at least, and such as are by mountain horsemen prized. He was hard and tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die. There was courage in his quick, impatient tread, and he bore the badge of gameness in his bright and fiery eye, and the proud and lofty carriage of his head. But still so slight and weedy, one would doubt his power to stay, and the old men said that horse would never do. For a long and tiring gallop, lad, you'd better stop away. Those hills are far too rough for such as you. So he waited sad and wistful, only Clancy's friend. I think we ought to let him come, he said. I warrant he'll be with us when he's wanted at the end, for both his horse and he are mountain bred. He hails from Snowy River up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where a horse hooves strike firelights from the flint stones every stride, the man that holds his own is good enough. And the Snowy River riders on the mountains make their home, where the river runs those giant hills between. I have seen full many horsemen since I first commenced to roam, but nowhere get such horsemen have I seen? So he went, they found the horses by the big mimosa clump. They raced away towards the mountain's brow. And the old man gave his orders, boys, go get them from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wheel them, try and wheel them to the right. Ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills. But never yet was a rider that could keep them not in sight if once they gained the shelter of those hills. The Clancy rode to wheel them. He was racing on the wing where the two boldest riders take their place. And he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the rangers ring with the stock whip as he met them face to face. They halted for a moment when he swung the dreaded lash, but they saw their well-loved mountain full in view. And they charged beneath the stock whip with a sharp and sudden dash, and off into the mountain scrub they flew. Then fast the horsemen followed where the gorges deep and black resounded to the thunder of their tread. And the stock whips woke the echoes, and they fiercely answered back from cliffs and crags that beetled overhead. And upward, ever upward, the wild horses held their way where mountain ash and Kurrajong grew wide. And the old man muttered fiercely, we may bid that knob good day. No man could hold them down the other side. When they reached the mountain's summit, even Clancy took a fall. It well might make the boldest hold their breath. The wild hop scrub grew thickly and the hidden ground was full of wombat holes and any slip was death. But the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head and he swung his stock whip round and gave a cheer. And he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the flintstones flying but the pony kept his feet. He cleared the fallen timbers in his stride. And the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride. Through the stringy barks and saplings on the rough and broken ground, down the hillside at a racing pace he went. And he never drew the bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of that terrible descent. He was right among the horses as they climbed the farther hill, and the watchers on the mountain standing mute saw him ply the stock whip fiercely. He was right among them still as he raced across the clearing in pursuit. Then they lost him for a moment where two mountain gullies met in the ranges, but a final glimpse reveals on a dim and distant hillside the wild horses racing yet with the man from Snowy River at their heels. And he ran them single-handed till their sides were white with foam. He followed like a bloodhound on their track. So they halted, cowed and beaten, and he turned their heads for home and alone and unassisted brought them back. But his hardy mountain pony, he could scarcely raise a trot. He was blood from hip to shoulder from the spur. But his pluck was still undaunted and his courage fiery hot. For never yet was a mountain horse occur. And down by Kosciuszko, where the pine-clad ridges raise, their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in the cold and frosty sky. And where around the overflow the reed beds sweep and sway to the breezes and the rolling plains are wide, the man from Snowy River is a household word today, and the stockman tell the story of his ride in poem.
I forgot you had some time and hear you read that too.
A good reading, very good poem. Great round.
It's a lovely poem. Lovely.
Great round. It's almost a two-beer poem.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And it's just got lovely rhythm and cadence. And it just rolls like a stream, really, I think. Mind you, I've read it a few times, but you can alter your speed, you can alter your how fast you're going, and it just goes with it. You know, it's just a brilliant piece of writing.
It is. Yarovsky, I love Yarovsky. They did it all through A B A B C D C D all through. They did a great job with it.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, it's lovely. It's my as I said, it's my favorite poem. So,
okay.
Yeah, just a wonderful piece of writing. Deb, you've heard that one before.
Absolutely. I say it every time, but my favorite part of hearing it is the fact that I hear the joy it brings you, and it's like I think each time you read it, it's almost like you have it memorized. You just flow with it so well, and you read it so well that you don't really realize. I mean, let's face it, Banjo is not a brevity writer. if you weren't such a strong, passionate reader, the poem, you know, poems that long sometimes don't hold attention, but it's more the pride in things and your pride in him that shows in your joy of that poem. And I sound like I'm an idiot, I think, at the moment, but it's mostly you share your joy with us as you read, and that's an amazing thing.
It's the word.
And the poem is.
He always talks my speed a couple times there. You got pretty fast going there for a while. I said, that's about the way I read. You got almost my speed there for a minute. And you did a great job reading. It's a wonderful poem. You did a great job.
No, thanks, Wayne. I deliberately go sort of faster when he's going down the slope, if that makes sense. So I sort of figure, you know, that sort of makes sense. And then slow down a little bit, because you wouldn't want to do it all like that. Yeah, but it's just a wonderful ABAB sort of rhyming poem. And I just enjoy reading it. As you can tell,
it may be my favorite.
Well, there you go. If I've done that, I've done really well.
See, it's there's my word, infectious. You make it, you know, you bring an infection to it. It makes it an infectious share. Your joy leans in there, and then Wayne's like, man, I really like this, and he's not even realizing that part of his joy from getting it from hearing it is from the expression in your voice. So
it's really cool.
Somebody said, so and a lot of things are that way. If the person reading is really feeling it, they share that feeling, and you wind up on a whole bunch of Banjo Academy fans.
Well, there's worse things, you know. Yeah, there's worse things. So, it's just a classic piece, and you can see how it floats on a little bit from that earlier bit that I had from poet Adam Lindsay Gordon. The Adam Lindsay Gordon didn't have anywhere near as refined sort of way of floating words and of making sure that the cadence was there, but he had a wonderful storytelling effect, and I think it was that storytelling that we got through Banjo from poets like Adam Lindsay Gordon. So there you go, a little bit of heritage there, Deb. So.
Absolutely.
And I still haven't found out who got last.
Oh, did you really?
I haven't yet, but I'm going to.
Okay. I was going to say, I did just put the photo of the after the race on the board. You can see the emotion. He's probably crying under his hand there. Amazing shot.
In the jockey. Yeah. I've got an official last place. I've finally found somewhere that gives me who was the official last place in the Melbourne Cup. So let me go to the tape here and have a look at who on earth had this horse so that I can announce who that was that got the 1,000 points there. So not the 8,000 or the 4,000 or the 2,000 or whatever, but I'm very pleased to announce that horse number 8, Ocean Billy, from Kay gets the 1,000 points. So Kay, horse number 8, Ocean Billy, was officially last, and she gets 1,000 points for that. So there you go.
Kay.
Congratulations. So, and a great result, really. So, all considered. And very, very happy that we've actually got the winners of the 15,000 points, and I will go and distribute those after the show. So thank you to everybody for being part of that. So, Deb, we had one other poem that came in from Marius that was actually written for their horse. So I was keen to sort of get that on the board. And he put that on the board. So I was going to read that. I'm just going to grab it now. And this was his poem, Explosive Jack, which was the horse he got, which I thought was kind of cute, really. So I'm going to put that up on the board next. And he's actually written that in a form that he's designed, which is sort of question and answer type form. So this is Explosive Jack in the QAP 8x10 form, and it goes a little bit like this. Who is going to win first place? We don't know. Let's follow the race. Which one is the prettiest horse? Explosive Jack, of course, of course. Who can tell me how old is he? A 4-year stallion he must be. Do you think he is a winner? I know that he's no beginner. The reason for this right, we will celebrate him tonight. That's kind of fun. I kind of like that sort of question and answer and form. Deb, what did you think of his horse piece?
I think it was cool, and I too like the fact that it's a form that he invented. Which one is the prettiest horse? Explosive Jack, of course, of course. There's sort of I was just talking about Mr. Ed. Somebody was just talking about Mr. Ed the other day, So that, of course, brought it into my head. Now it's going to drive me crazy. Who was he talking about? I think this came out really, really clever. And so is the invention. Thank you, Marius.
Wayne, well done, Marius. Wayne, what did you think of this little piece?
I wrote this style before. He had a contest I in, and I like the style a whole lot. It's a wonderful poem written in a wonderful style. And I said, did you hear what's on the news? I think I heard that my horse was going to lose.
It was fun. It was fun. I think, Deb, finish with the Peter Allen poem, and then we might call it a night. What do you think?
I say I am in your hands, whatever you decide.
Oh, I think we're going to do that. And this is a really interesting piece because it started life as a song, but its main written pieces are really very strange, but the chorus is beautiful. So I'm going to put it straight up on the board, and this is a piece about Peter Allen and his father. Tenterfield is a town up in the border, Wales and Queensland, inland from the border, where there's quite a lot of forest and steep hills. And just a really interesting part of the world, and I used to go through it for work. And anyway, so here we go. This is Tenterfield Sadler by Peter Allen. The late George Wilnow worked on High Street and lived on Manors. 52 years he sat on his veranda and made his saddles. And if you had questions about sheep or flower or dogs, you just asked the saddler. He lived without sin. They're building a library for him. Time is a traveller. Tenderfield saddler, turn your head. Ride again, Jackaroo. Think I see kangaroo up ahead. The son of George will know, went off and got married and had a war baby. But something was wrong, and it's easier to drink than go crazy. And if there were questions about why the end was so sad, well, George had no answers about why a son ever has need of a gun. I'm is a traveler, Tenderfield saddler, turn your head. Ride again, Jackaroo, think I see kangaroo up ahead. The grandson of George has all been around the world and lives no special place. Changed his last name and he married a girl with an interesting face. He'd almost forgotten them both because in this life that he leads, there's nowhere for George in his library or the son with his gun to belong except in this song. Time is a traveler, Tenderfield saddler, turn your head. Ride again, Jackaroo, think I see kangaroo up ahead. Time is a meddler, Tenderfield saddler, make your bed. Fly away, cockatoo, down the ground, emu up ahead. Time is a tale teller, Tenderfield saddler, turn your head. Ride again, Jackaroo, think I see kangaroo up ahead. End poem.
Really awesome. And George, and who is George?
He was his father. His father, Peter Allen's father, was George Woolnough, who made saddles in the main street of Tenderfield for 50 years.
Wow.
And it's just got a brilliant chorus. I'm not a big fan, as I said, of the song in the verses. It's sort of quite strange, but the chorus is just quite beautiful.
A little bit of a hauntingness to the repeat in the chorus there. I don't know. The traveler before it's a touching share. It's a good way to end.
So anyway, I thought that was an interesting way to sort of end the show. An interesting show, Deb.
Yeah, I was looking at my date there.
Sorry, what?
I said I wouldn't give up my day job and go to sing and try to make a living, but you did a great job with the poem. I enjoyed it.
No,
thank you. Have a nice night.
I'm glad you got the phone fixed, Wayne.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad you got it fixed too. Thanks to everybody. Thanks, Deb, for rescheduling shows at short notice. Thank you to Stephen and Kay for doing the same. Thank you to everybody for putting everybody out there and looking for horses and getting into the spirit of things. And again, the points, Silk 8,000 points for very elegant. Naomi, 4,000 points for incentivize. Pretty Bird, 2,000 points. The Spanish Mission, and Kay got 1,000 points for last with her horse. So that's where the points are going very shortly. And terrific show. So thank you, Deb, too, for pulling out a couple of poems that I hadn't seen before. They were rippers.
That made my night. And I think I'll see you same time, same station next year.
Same time, same station next year, absolutely. And meantime, as I said, thank you everybody for joining in on the fun here in Melbourne Cup Day, and it's been a pleasure putting this short show together, and really enjoyed it, and thank you to everybody for coming along for the ride, so to speak. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Deb.
Great show. Love and respect.
Okay. Thank you again. I think this is the fourth Melbourne Cup show, so we've had a bit of fun with it. So my thanks to everybody, and we will catch. What's normal programming, Deb? I think I've stuffed it all up. But what's coming up soon on Attending Voices?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow night at 11 p.m. is Pretty Bird Under the Bus. And she said you've heard of the deadly sins. Well, she would like to speak of the seven heavenly virtues. So
there you go.
Tune in.
Okay, we can.
And those would be chastity, abstinence, liberality, diligence, patience, kindness, and humility. So choose one of those.
Okay,
11 p.m.
Probably going to struggle, I think, Deb. But anyway, it's good to have them there. We can always sort of aim towards them, Deb, you know, even if we struggle to get there. We can always aim.
We can aim.
From there, and as I said, thank you to everybody for participating, and I think I don't really have any horse racing songs, really, in my little bunch of stuff that I've got there, Deb. So I'm probably going to finish with something quirky, maybe a little bit of reminiscing. So here we go now.
Dancing in the dark, walking through the fog, and reminiscing.
on that was Bremen's Got a Little River Band, written in my old house, and by about members of the Little River Band. So thank you for that. Thanks for being along with the ride. Very Australian, horsey type of show. And we'll catch up with you very soon. Bye, everybody.